We look at something in Baptist history, and this morning I want to look at the first the man and the two men that started the first two Baptist churches in the United States. And most will know that the first Baptist church was started in Rhode Island, in what is now the state of Rhode Island. And in establishing Rhode Island as a haven of religious freedom, and so it was more than just that the churches were started there. Rhode Island was set up as a haven among all the other colonies, we would call them back then, of religious freedom. And the two names that go with those churches are Pastor John Clark and then Roger Williams. And we're going to talk about John Clark this morning. John Clark was born in 1609. He was apprenticed to a doctor. He became a skilled physician. He was also an earnest student of law and philosophy. And mostly what we remember him for, he was an ardent advocate of the freedom that each man had to worship God in the way that God would have him worship, and this liberty of conscience. And he believed in this and strongly fought for these rights until his death, April 20th, 1676. Clark had been saved probably as a Puritan in England. He became a dissenter, dissenting against the Church of England there, and there's great persecution for those that will dissent at that time. So he moved to Leiden, Holland, to avoid persecution. It's there that he first came in contact with some Baptists. He did not join their fellowship, but he knew of them and knew of their work at that time. And then the Baptist historian Armitage tells us that a long train of circumstances indicate that his steps had led in the same path with those of Williams, Roger Williams, in the main, through Puritanism, love of religious liberty, disgust at the intolerance of Massachusetts, and so into a full Baptist position. And so he left Holland because he was not satisfied with what was going on there. He sailed to Massachusetts. He says in his books that the moment he landed, he could tell that that the religious persecution was alive and well in Massachusetts, and we know it to have been very severe in Massachusetts during that time in the 1600s. So in the early 1640s, Clark and several families in Massachusetts decided to find an area, left Massachusetts, and wanted to find an area where their biblical beliefs would be tolerated and they could worship God. At the same time, Roger Williams had been given a plot of land by the great chief Massasoit for his work in averting a war and really helping the Indians between two warring tribes. And Williams and Clark at that time were of the same mind and belief, and they secured this land in a charter. Williams settled in Providence, what would be Providence, Rhode Island now, and Clark in Newport. And this land, this tract of land that was given to Williams, would become the state of Rhode Island. Clark started this church in 1644 in Newport. This would be the second Baptist church started in the United States. Now, as per date of its founding, it would be the second Baptist church, but actually, probably because of its fervent Baptistic beliefs, its evangelistic zeal, the length of time that this church stayed true to the Word of God, we would probably call this the first Baptist church started in America. And so Pastor John Clark started this church. You might remember the story of Obadiah Holmes. And Obadiah Holmes was the man that was captured and beaten so badly. That beating resounded down through American history, and the Founding Fathers even remembered that when they put some things in the Constitution. But Obadiah Holmes was a member of John Clark's church. And so in 1651, it was John Clark and Obadiah Holmes and another member of their church that went up into Massachusetts to minister to a former member, if you remember that story. And there they were arrested and captured and beaten. John Clark and the other man were set free. Someone paid their fines and set them free. They went back to Rhode Island, and it was Obadiah Holmes who suffered the severe beating that we've talked about in times past. So just a note there that Obadiah Holmes is a member of John Clark's church. Well, in the meantime, England is going through a civil war, and Oliver Cromwell would overturn the crown for a number of years. Cromwell was very sympathetic to the Baptist cause. In fact, many of his closest bodyguards, closest men were Baptists. And so Clark and Williams thought that this would be a great time. They're now, everybody in the state, in the colonies is English citizens at this point. So they thought this would be a time we should go back to England, and we should secure from Oliver Cromwell a permanent charter for a colony that they could live in and worship God as their consciences dictated. Great idea. Cromwell is sympathetic to Baptists, and this is a great time to go. So they sailed to England. Well, they were in England a long time, and actually what happened was that Clark's exhortation was not to become reality. Cromwell's attention was directed elsewhere. It never happened under Cromwell. In fact, it didn't happen until Cromwell was overturned, the monarchy was restored, and Charles II was actually the English king that granted this charter. And I want to read to you the charter and what Charles II said, because this is very important in really in world history. This changed everything. We are here today primarily because of this, of what was written here. And Charles II said in this charter, he said, "Our royal will and pleasure is that no person within said colony at any time hereafter shall be in any wise molested, punished, disquieted, or called into question for differences of opinion in matters of religion that do not actually disturb the civil peace of said colony, but that all and any persons may from time to time and all times hereafter freely and fully have and enjoy his and their own judgments and consciences in matters of religious concernments throughout this tract of land hereafter mentioned, they behaving themselves peacefully and quietly, not using this liberty to licentiousness and profaneness, not to civil injury or outward disturbance of others, any law, statute, or clause therein contained, usage or custom of this realm, to the contrary thereof, and any wise notwithstanding." Now, there's a lot of old English terminology there, but you understand what he said there. And these words now are engraved in the State House in Providence, Rhode Island. I want to read these last words to you as a memorial for future generations. And this is Charles II's final words on this subject. He said, "It is much on their hearts, if they may be permitted, to hold a lively experiment that a most flourishing civil state may stand and best be maintained, and that among our English subjects with full liberty in religious concernments." That experiment has lasted 350 years. And we praise the Lord for what that means to us. John Clark, great man. One of the things he said before he died in 1620 was, "It is not the will of the Lord that anyone should have dominion over another man's conscience. Conscience is such a sparkling beam from the Father of lights and spirits that cannot be lorded over, commanded, or forced either by men, devils, or angels." And this morning I want to thank the Lord for this great man, not just the church he started, but for what he did, and for this religious liberty that we now enjoy primarily because of what his work and what he did here.